listening to Food Integrity Now with Carol Grabe, Matt Spaeth, and Jeannie Smith, revealing the truth about the food we eat. Hello and welcome to Food Integrity Now. I'm Carol Grabe, the host of your show today. On Food Integrity Now, we not only talk about issues that affect our global food supply, we also bring you integrity news and information on various topics that are affecting the quality of our lives. Our goal is to bring you this information in an uncensored and honest way so that you can use it in creating change in both your life and in the lives of others. You can find us on the web at foodintegritynow.org. You can listen to all of our shows directly on our site or on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Our show today is brought to you by Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop. Our guest today is Jacqueline Lloyd. Jacqueline Lloyd has been studying energy and solar flares for years, and I decided when I wanted to do a show on solar flares that she was a perfect person to talk about this. Jacqueline, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for having me on to talk about a topic I love so much.
I know. When I started thinking about solar flares, I thought you were the perfect person because you have such a passion about this energy and solar flares, and so many of us don't really understand what it all means. So perhaps you can connect a few of the dots for us.
Well, I'd love to try. It's been a process like that for me too, and the more I study it, the more I realize that even though the sun is, 93 million miles away from Earth, it directly affects us in so many ways that we don't even realize until we start paying attention and watching the patterns. So it's very exciting.
Oh, that's wonderful. So let's start out with what are sunspots and why do they create solar flares?
Okay, so a sunspot is basically a block in the sun's energy on the surface. It scientists aren't really clear why it happens when it does. Sometimes you'll have three sunspots that are really far away from each other. Remember, the sun is huge. And they will erupt at the same time. And they don't understand the mechanism behind it because, it's still an evolving science, which makes it really cool to watch. But a sunspot is where the energy gets blocked and it turns into a magnet of sorts. If you have a magnet with a north and a south pole, it's sort of the same thing. They start to pull apart and get stronger. And there are different configurations of sunspots, but we'll just keep it simple and just have a north and a south pole. And as the energy builds, it gets stagnant. It builds up behind the blocks of the north and the south pole. On the magnetic filaments, you can see the lines like a bar magnet. And once it gets to a certain point, the energy releases, and that's what the solar flare is. It sends energy across the electromagnetic spectrum out into space, and if it happens to be Earth-directed, we are right in the path of that.
So when you say it releases, I mean, is it like a buildup of that energy and it has to go somewhere so it just releases into a solar flare?
Yes, that's exactly it, and you can see videos of this online, and it's the most amazing thing because it's just all of a sudden this giant cloud billows out from the sun's surface, and it makes the sun look small. The cloud is so big, and that's really saying something, especially the really big ones. It's an awesome thing to see, there are all kinds of different videos on the web now from all the satellites that are out there watching this stuff and tracking it, and it's very humbling to see the actual eruption, and there's really no warning. Scientists can look at the configuration of the poles within the sunspot, the magnetic configuration, and say, well, this one's capable of a really big flare, and, we'll just watch it, basically. And then when it goes, everyone says, oh, there it goes. And sometimes they don't go. Sometimes they do. Sometimes a sunspot with a configuration that doesn't look that impressive can unleash a pretty big solar flare. So it's a fledgling science in a way because we don't really understand what drives the whole process.
Wow, that's interesting. So they can't really predict when it's going to happen, but can they predict what may happen after it happens?
Yeah, well, that's once it actually, the solar flare is released and that energy is sent out into space. That's when the scientists at NOAA, you know, and across the world, everybody gets very busy trying to calculate the size of the CME, the coronal mass ejection, the size, the intensity, exactly where it was facing, and there's a lot of math and some guesswork, and even within, I would say, you know, 20 hours from the actual CME, they're still fine-tuning the impact time and the intensity of it. So it's really sort of a scramble once that energy is released to find out what we're dealing with.
Okay, that makes sense. So can you explain, it's my understanding that these solar flares have different classes. And many of us were aware, because it was all over the news, on March 7th, the big solar flare that, you know, everybody was trying to predict what was going to happen with this. Was it going to affect our technology and such? And that was an X class. Can you explain the different classes of solar flares and why that is important?
Oh, sure. It's really a pretty simple, you know, basic way of saying not a big deal, kind of a big deal, and a very big deal. And then, of course, within those three, you know, ratings, there are different levels. So it starts with C. A C-class flare is not really that big of a deal, and they number within. So you'd have a C1 or a C2, and then once it reaches a certain intensity, the C-class flare switches to an M-class flare. And that is a medium-class flare, and, you know, it can impact Earth, not to a big degree, but it can affect satellites and the astronauts in space. They watch this very carefully because, of course, the space shuttle is right in the line of fire without the protection of the atmosphere, and the magnetic field, you know, kind of goes in and out in that area too. So they always keep the astronauts informed when this is coming in. Once the M-class flare reaches a certain level of intensity, and this is all based on X-ray emissions, it turns into an X-class flare. And that's when people really sit up and take notice, because depending on the strength of the X-class flare, it can really impact Earth all the way down to the power grid that we all rely on for you know, survival and telecommunication and, you know, everything that we take for granted. A direct X-class flare that was really strong, if there's other factors that impact how much of a negative effect it's going to have on the power grid, but that's definitely part of it, the strength of the X-class flare.
And how does the solar flare actually affect the Earth's electromagnetic energy field? And or let's back up a little bit, because I'm assuming that maybe many of our listeners don't even understand what the electromagnetic energy field really is. Can you explain that briefly?
Yeah, are you talking about the magnetic field of the Earth?
Or the magnetic field of the Earth, how that works.
Oh, okay. The center of the Earth is actually a giant magnet. It's an iron core, and we have a North Pole and the South Pole. And it's just the same thing as a bar magnet. It sends, the North Pole and the South Pole send out magnetic loops that you can see. You know, if you just have a regular magnet with the right, you know, when you were a kid, I don't know if you played with magnets, but if you have shavings of iron, they align themselves within that field in an arc, even though they're not actually touching the magnet, or they go to the north and the south poles. Well, the Earth is the same way, and what it does is it sends out this protective arc of magnetic field that protects Earth itself from a lot of incoming solar energy. And a lot of the particles that come from the sun are charged particles. The electrons are charged, and so they are diffused and spread out by the magnetic field. So it's like just a big bubble around the Earth that keeps us safe from getting hammered by incoming solar radiation.
Okay, and then how can the solar flares affect the Earth's electromagnetic energy field?
Well, what it does is it as the Earth absorbs, as the magnetic field absorbs that energy that's coming at it, it diffuses it across the magnetic lines. Now, there are different factors at work here, like solar winds, for example, and the sun pushes out a constant energy in solar wind that does vary depending on other factors. So the magnetic field itself can get buffeted by that wind, and in certain situations it actually flips polarity so that the energy from the sun cancels out the north-south poles magnetically. So it's kind of hard to explain, but in that canceling out, that's when the magnetic field ceases protecting the Earth, and the electric particles and the ions and all the energy coming in does actually impact the Earth's surface.
That makes perfect sense to me. That I think you explained that really well. So once those it's kind of like the north and south poles, once that's canceled out, then the protective, I just kind of got a visual of this, the protective field that's around the Earth, there's in essence like no protection.
Exactly. Well, no magnetic protection.
Right, exactly. Right. No magnetic protection. So that's when, you know, a large solar flare could really, you know, affect us here on Earth. And how might that effect look? I mean, how might that look if we had a hit, a solar flare hit, you know, a direct hit on the Earth, a pretty strong one, how might that affect power grids and such?
Well, it depends on a lot of different factors. It depends on the solar wind, on the velocity of the solar wind, the density of the solar wind, which basically means how many charged particles are being brought by that wind. And then you have the solar flare emission on top of that. So it's kind of a perfect storm scenario that you're asking me to describe, because a lot of different things have to line up just right for the kind of solar flare impact that the scientists have been warning us about for years. Just for some perspective, on March 7th, we had an X-class flare that the scientists were concerned about affecting the grid, and some warnings were put out, and people prepared to some extent, you know, the electrical power grid companies prepared for surges and spikes and outages. And the magnetic field during that incoming wave was facing very strongly north. So we had that protective field of the magnetic core in place. So that's why we really didn't see any hiccups in the grid. Plus, it was rated an X5.4 class flare, which is really not that strong. For some perspective, the last solar cycle we had, in recent years, I think it was back in 73, I want to say, we saw an X28.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot bigger than an X5. And, you know, it really, again, it did not have the impact that it might have because other safety mechanisms that the Earth naturally provides were in place. And again, there's really no way to anticipate what will be in place when that wave comes. It's such a minute-to-minute observation. The scientists just watch the satellites that are tracking this, you know, the movement of the ionosphere and the solar wind, and they just watch basically and just report, oh, you know, it's going to be okay as it happens. There's really no way to warn people other than the warning that we have, which is about usually 24 to 36 hours, saying yes, there was a large X-class flare emission, and we might want to be prepared for possible impact.
Okay. So if, you know, the Earth has the electromagnetic energy field around it, and it's my understanding that so does our body. So how, in your study of energy, how might a solar flare affect us on a personal level as it hits our electromagnetic energy field?
But Jacqueline, before you answer that question, we are going to take a brief break to listen to our sponsor. We'll be right back.
everyone. This is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. We're talking with Jacqueline Lloyd about solar flares. And before we took a break, I had asked Jacqueline how a solar flare might affect us personally, because we all have electromagnetic energy fields around our body.
This is the part I find absolutely fascinating. And this is still my understanding and my process of learning. So please don't, take any of this to the bank. But I started noticing about a year ago that people, before a flare would release, let's say we have a sunspot. Okay, let's just take the March 7th one, for example. Scientists were watching it because it had the configuration to unleash an X-class flare. So they already knew it was building. And I had been watching it too. And, it was just a wait and see sort of a thing. So on the day of the 7th, actually it was the 6th because, scientists go by UTC time, I started noticing around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, my kids who are normally, they have a lot of energy, but they don't really act off the wall. I mean, they're just kids. They, all of a sudden, it was like this switch flipped inside of them, and they were acting like somebody had given each of them a double espresso. They were bouncing off the walls, and I was just standing there staring at them wondering what had happened, because it was so unusual for them to have that much high-charged energy. And then I noticed in myself that I had this same sort of a thing going on, only I wasn't bouncing off the walls. My mind was skipping from thing to thing, issue to issue, to-do list, what do I have to get done? This is a problem, that's a problem. I couldn't find that sense of, okay, we're just going through life. It was impossible to feel peaceful and grounded at that time. And I just wondered what had happened. And then I sign up for free emails when solar flares erupt. Our government is kind enough to inform anybody who cares via free email subscription that, in fact, the X flare had broken. So it seems to me that the process is similar, in that on the sun, the energy builds up around the blocks and it intensifies to the point of release. And I've started noticing not only in my kids, but in people too, you'll see emotions suddenly getting highlighted, negative emotions. People are angry. People are irritable. They snap at each other. The cops are really busy. There's a lot of accidents on the freeway. It's just suddenly, people just kind of look at each other and go, what is going on? Because it hits out of the blue and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So, I challenge you, Carol, to watch for this, because it's fascinating how it works. And I believe that there's an underlying energy that is, behind everything and in everything. And the same energy that creates that tension on the sun and the polarities of the sunspots creates a polarity within our own energy field. So if we have physical issues, they're going to get worse with a solar flare and a sunspot building to intensity. If we have people who are emotionally unstable, mentally unstable, you're going to start seeing that type of behavior a lot more around this same sunspot phenomena. You'll see shootings, people just losing it. It's fascinating.
So that's the one polarity. What's the opposite polarity to that, since there are always opposite polarities?
There are. The opposite polarity is if we pay attention and if we are committed to working with this energy, we can have some incredible breakthroughs in our own healing and our own processes, because what the energy does is build the negative to such a point that you can't miss it. And that is a huge gift, really, because if it's a subconscious fear or a subconscious, you know, pain or an underlying thing that hasn't really come to the surface that we need to heal in order to feel better, it's going to be highlighted by this energy. It's like shining a light on it so that we can't miss it. And if we're conscious about it, and if we work with the understanding that this is really a gift to heal on a deep level, then we can take that time of intensity and of energy building to really go deep with it, and when you know, release it just like the sun releases it. So it really is a chance to let go on a deep level of something that you've wanted to let go of for a while.
Oh, and I totally agree with that. And for me personally, what I felt using that March 7th solar flare, there were a couple of things. I heard a ringing in my ear. And it was a rather large ringing, and I talked with several people about this, and they were hearing a similar thing. Do you have any take on why that would be? Or I don't know if you do or not. It's just something I really noticed.
Oh, that's cool to see. I love talking to people about this because, I love hearing everybody's experiences. It just makes it so much richer and more interesting. Yeah. I've heard some people have ears ringing. I've heard some people, like, say they got their knee replaced 10 years ago, like that'll start hurting out of the blue. So I think the body definitely gives a warning that something is coming. For me, it's more mental and emotional. I see the impact more there, but maybe that's just where I'm at. I don't know. Ringing would be good though. Yeah.
Yeah. So in essence, people can actually use this time to perhaps work on an issue if it comes up, and it probably will come up during this time that they may not be aware of.
Well, that's the beauty of it. That's why I call it a gift, because there's really no way it can't come up. The only reason that we might miss it is if we're so much in denial or just in fear and not wanting to deal with it, that we can suppress it. It's going to leak out in other ways. And that's, I think, why you have things like shootings and, you know, car accidents and people falling downstairs. I have a good friend who's an ER nurse. And, that was another thing I started noticing. She started getting really busy right around solar flare time, people coming in with the most bizarre accidents. So if we're not conscious about it, the energy is still impacting us and it's still going to have an effect. It's just a choice. You know, are we going to use it positively to support ourselves in our healing and support ourselves to finding a way to enjoy life more, or are we going to just let it do what it's going to do?
Yeah, and I love what you said, because we do have choice in how we respond to a negative emotion that may be coming up. We can either, you know, give it a lot of power, or we can take a look at it and try to figure out where it came from. One of the things that my spiritual teacher says quite often is that which was is until understood and healed. And I personally think that from the information that you've given us and from my personal studies, that this is an excellent time to heal an issue.
It really is. And as this solar cycle continues, solar cycle lasts 24 years and it peaks, you know, right around 12 years. Actually, this is supposed to be the year that it peaks. And so scientists are sort of scratching their heads right now, wondering why the sun is relatively quiet, because right now it is relatively quiet. And they have sent some satellites to the far side of the sun, which is the part that is the sun, you know, rotates like the earth in conveyor belts, though. It's different. But they can watch the sunspots building on the side that does not affect us, so that when they come around to the earth side, they know sort of what's coming to a certain extent. Now, that, interestingly enough, that is just a temporary project. That's not a permanent situation, having those satellites, the stereo satellites out there to watch the far side. I'm hoping NASA puts together, you know, a more permanent thing. But in the meantime, we have this ability to see what's coming. So the satellites and the scientific technology that is tracking the sun is really helpful for people like you and me who want to use this time and this energy to really heal and go deep with it.
Yes, I totally agree. And do you also have any suggestions on how people can prepare? You know, let's say we have a large solar flare and it knocks out power in certain areas. I think it's beneficial to be prepared, obviously not out of fear, but to plan. Because, you know, I live in the mountains and I know what happens when there's supposed to be a blizzard. Everybody runs to the grocery store and buys everything off the shelves. And so how can people plan? Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, what's interesting is that the government has issued, you know, a very low key warning to the citizens. I mean the United States government, because that's where we are, Carol. Saying it is possible that this solar cycle could generate a flare that impacts us to a strong degree. Now, the reason that we're more vulnerable now than we were during the last solar cycle is because we have a much more increase of reliance on satellite and technology that comes from, you know, satellites that are out in space that are going to get hit first. So it's not only the grid, it's things that people don't even really think about. And the grid itself is such a complex network of things. Pumping gas, for example, you know, when there's no power, if you go to the gas station, it's dark. You can't pump gas into your car. The grocery stores, that's a great example of, you know, during a blizzard when people just clean it out. And I think it's definitely possible that will occur sooner or later, not necessarily because of the flare, but because of the fear that people will have. So it just makes sense to have, you know, a mental checklist of what one would need. I mean, water, for example, if the power goes out, the municipal water districts don't have pumping capability unless they have generators and a way to back up their pumps for power. So people don't think about it. They just assume, you know, the toilet will flush. Well, not necessarily. So it's just good to have water on hand. And if you can store gas, that's not a bad idea either. You know, just to have food on hand. And the thing is, it could be a temporary outage. It could last just a couple of days for the power companies to get their circuits, you know, repaired and everything flowing again. But it could be longer than that. And there really won't be any kind of a warning to say, well, it's going to be out, and it's going to be out for a long time, or it's going to be out for 12 hours. It's because the science is still a fledgling science, the warnings are not what one might expect. So for those of us who live in earthquake country, it's kind of like an earthquake. You don't know when it's going to hit. You don't know how strong it's going to be. So it's just a good idea to have what you need.
Yeah, I totally agree. And on Food Integrity Now, we've actually done a couple of shows on being prepared. And one suggestion I have for our listeners is a great book by Matt Stein called When Technology Fails. And this book is, you know, it's huge. It's 8.5 by 11 and probably 2 inches thick. Everything you would need to know if you had no power, no water, it's just something, you know, that it's one of those books that you buy and you hope you never have to use it. But you know, when you need it, you're going to really need it. So that's just one suggestion. But again, it's not out of preparing out of fear. It's just out of planning, because it's about quality of life. And if you don't have power and you don't have water and food for a week, you're going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's, you know, we went through a fire about 8 years ago now. It was the worst fire in California's history. And we were not really prepared for it. And the things that you don't even think about are probably included in that book. So I think it's wonderful that you suggest that book. Toilet paper, for example. Running out of toilet paper is a bummer. Quality of life. You know, how do you charge your cell phone if there's no power? Will your cell phone even work? In our case, the power poles all burnt, so we had no electricity and we had no landlines, but we had cell phone. Now, in the event of a solar flare, the cell phone service would probably be out as well, because it relies on satellites. So anything that relies on satellites, GPS, radio, internet radio, internet, for example, telecommunications, all that is directly impacted. And while it may not, let's say it hit Europe, let's say the sun side was Europe when the energy came in, that we're all so tied together right now that it would still have ripples throughout the world.
Yeah. Well, again, great information. And can you suggest any good sites for people to use as a resource or to find out more about solar flares?
Absolutely. The fun thing is to go look at all the different people like me who are excited about this too, and the scientists and the satellites. And it depends on how detailed you want to get. The most basic, more or less up-to-date information can be found at solarweather.com. And that is designed for people who really don't want to know a whole lot about graphs and, you know, different emission qualities and all that. They just want to know the basics. Is it going to hit? When's it going to hit? And you know, what do they know about the intensity of it? So that's solarweather.com. And they are usually pretty good about updating within a few hours of an emission of a CME. And they are also fairly good at keeping the website current as far as what the scientists know. Now, if you want to get more technical, the site that offers solarweather.com also offers the free email alerts for when a flare is coming in. The NOAA, N-O-A-A, which is a government website, so that's NOAA.gov. That is where you'll find more technical information and more current data, more up-to-date. That's the government. So they issue their information and their study and their graphs and, you know, impact analysis a lot faster. So that's the one I use. But there's also solarham.com. That's the third one. And that tries to combine both the approach of solar weather, which is for the layperson, and the pretty pictures and the graphs and the awesome movies of these giant clouds of plasma blowing off the sun. So that's solarham.com.
Great. Well, that's great information. And you can also, on some of these sites, you can register and they send you alerts like you were talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, the only one that doesn't is solarham.com. But Solar Weather, I think, is really good for people who just want to know that there's a flare coming. NOAA.gov, you can sign up for all different variations of information, you know, based on your interest, of particle, wind speed, all kinds of different things.
Oh, that's great information. Well, thank you, Jackie, for being our guest today and for giving us this really good information. I think it's very timely. And, you know, as we say in Food Integrity Now, don't believe what we say, do your own research. But if you start doing your own research on solar flares, I think you'll find it very interesting and applicable to your life.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. Well, thank you once again, everyone, for listening out there. And if you like what you hear on the show, please remember to head on over to iTunes and leave us a comment or a rating. It's really the best way that we can get the word out, and it really helps us along. Thanks, Jackie, for being our guest today and giving us such great information on solar flares. And if you have any show ideas, comments, or just want to say hi, email us at info@foodintegritynow.org. We'd love to hear from you. You can check us out on the web at foodintegritynow.org, where you can find archive shows and news. And our new shows come out every other Thursday. This is Carol Gravet wishing you a happy and healthy week. And until next time, stay educated and stay active.